Ho, ho, no, everybody. It's the week after Christmas. It's December the 27th as you listen to this. Welcome to True Crime on Easy Street. We hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas, and we wish you all an early Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to everyone. And how about this? Happy holidays.
Yeah, let's
cover all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe you had a Merry Christmas. Maybe you're glad it's over.
Should we do the intro again?
No, I think it was perfect.
I think it was great.
I think you nailed it.
Felt like a screw up now.
You nailed it.
Well, it's time I got something right around here.
It is time.
I was due. All right, so my name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Anybody have any shout outs? We have anything new to spread around?
No, I don't have anything.
No, I think it's crazy, though. This is our last episode of the year.
Wow, of season three.
It truly is. Season four is coming up. When you listen again, it will be season four.
Can you believe it?
We don't know what we're doing yet.
We don't take a hiatus. We just get right back to work.
And when I say we don't know what we're doing, I mean, we've been doing this for 3 years and we still don't know what we're doing.
No. You mean every word of that.
Yes.
But
2024 is going to be a great year. We'll do some more mafia stuff. We've teased that recently, and I'm sure we've got some.
We've got Alabama cases. We've got non-Alabama cases.
So come back next year.
Yeah.
We'll be right here.
Would you guys have thought when we sat down to do that first episode that we would be looking at season four?
Not after I heard the first episode, because we were terrible.
Well, and we recorded it about four times, just practicing to get it down.
So
and
imagine.
Now we just one and done all our episodes.
We've realized that rehearsing was working against us.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And we even tried some things in the past where, like, we read out the whole script and we would take turns reading portions. I think we did the H.H. Holmes story that way.
Mm-hmm.
We took turns doing something that we pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't do well with scripts.
I don't think that was, and you never liked that idea to begin with. And we didn't do it very often. It just didn't work for us. It works for us we have two dummies and one person in the big chair every week. That's what we do.
Kelly Turner said, no script can hold her down.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As the great poet said, can't nobody hold me down.
Oh, which great poet was that? It sounds like Jeff Foxworthy.
Was it P. Diddy?
I was about to say, it's a rapper, I'm pretty sure.
Even better.
I don't know if it was P. Diddy or not, but whatever name he goes by now. But
Well, we've got it. We've got this figured out, we think. We've got the way that we do it, and people seem to like it. We get a lot of positive comments. Recently, when I was at Easy Street for the Christmas Cabaret, several people said, hey, I listened to the podcast. Love you guys.
Oh,
so always grateful.
Yeah.
I think Haley Bailey was one of the people
she said that they've been listening. Her and, she's been listening with Will in the car. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I was trying to think. I knew somebody. I had talked to somebody at the Christmas Cabaret who had mentioned the podcast. Yep. And it was Haley Bailey.
It was Haley Bailey.
Okay. And it was awesome to finally meet Denny, your coworker.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
To put a face to the name. Mm-hmm. It's very lovely to meet Denny.
She covers me a lot at work, takes care of a lot of the details that I sometimes overlook. You guys know what I'm talking about. It happens here too.
Denny is not mediocre.
She is not.
No, when she came in the door, I was working the door at the cabaret to begin with, and she said, are you Katie? And that's I never know where that's going. I'm like, I don't am I?
I'm not
who's
sure
asking?
About that. Yeah.
And she was like, I'm Denny. I was like, oh. She's like, I told Scott I had to meet you and I needed to meet Kelly. I said, well, let me introduce you because we can't trust Scott to do that.
Yeah. Well, you were right to do that.
And y'all happened to be like in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was berating me for something that I had done wrong in the past. Kelly was, I'm sure.
Probably.
You know me. That's what I do every time I see you.
She is a mom 24/7.
Constant.
Whether you are her child or not.
Mm-hmm. Constant. That's who I am.
Well, somebody needs to get you, Scott.
I know. I'll try to do better. In 2024, I will try to do better.
I just really can't believe it, but 2024, season four, is going to be bigger and better.
Is that your resolution?
We've
talked about resolutions. Yeah.
My resolution for 2024, I had one and now I can't remember what it was. I guess it wasn't that important. But maybe to try to do better at podcasting. That's a start. I've got a t-shirt that I got last week when we did Christmas that I got from Kelly that says Podfather.
The Podfather.
So I guess if I'm going to wear that shirt,
if you're going to live up to that name.
Yeah. Don't get your hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
I do love some resolutions.
All right, what are you
writing
got?
Things down?
Smarty Britses.
Well, my main one this year is I'm going to try to be better at not procrastinating things.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's like, okay. I feel like...
But it didn't sound like you committed to that. You said you're going to try not to procrastinate. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like procrastinating
well,
to me.
Well, I haven't got my whole list of resolutions down just yet. I have. Mm-hmm. I like to write things out and manifest over them. All right. You know, you see it.
Whatever works for you.
You know, we don't have to get in all my...
Katie Beth.
Hoodoo voodoo that I believe in. Okay. You know, we're still in retrograde. Mercury's still in retrograde.
Oh, until God. The
please stop.
Mercury's in the microwave. Yeah. Somebody said.
I don't... Yeah, it may as well be.
2024 is supposed to be a great year for Libra, so we'll see.
All right.
Mm.
I don't know.
What are you... So I'm guessing you're Libra. A Libra. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And people who are a lot into that more than I am, every time they learn when my birthday is, they go, yeah, that checks out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
So, Scott, what are you?
Pisces.
Same.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, 17th of March. I'm the 20th of March.
Yeah. Two Pisces here. Katie, does that check out?
Yeah.
That both of us
are Pisces?
How could that be?
Yeah.
Somebody's not.
Well, like, because Shane and
somebody's on the border.
Yeah. Well, Shane and I are both Libras too, but we're very different. But we each have the qualities of.
Mm-hmm. That all sounds like a bunch of horse shit to me. Anyway, yeah. Sorry out there if I offended you, or I think I offended Katie for sure just now.
No, okay. Like I said, I ebb and flow in it.
Okay.
Gotcha. So is Mercury coming out of the microwave this year?
Yes, January 1st is when it ends, and it's so. Mm-hmm.
What does retrograde mean?
That means it's getting further away.
We need it to be closer.
Like in the sky at night, Mercury, if it's in retrograde, it's getting lower in the sky every night.
And it's in Capricorn, which means I got to stop. I don't know enough about it to keep going.
Okay.
But
in the sky, it's in the constellation Capricorn.
Yes.
When you see it in the sky.
And is that a problem?
It is not a problem per se, but there is a lot of issues with communication right now. So like like I said, I don't know enough about
it. And so is it going to be closer in 2024? Not in retrograde. It's going to be in what?
Well, you have retrogrades all throughout the year. This is just the last one of the year and it's in Capricorn, which is like a huge retrograde.
Oh my.
I think that the only direction planets move in the sky, and I may get this wrong, Mars does something weird, but retrograde, like every night at 8 o'clock, for example, the Mercury in this example is lower in the sky.
I think that's what's been making me sleepy at 8 o'clock at night.
It's the sun going down that makes me sleepy at 8 o'clock at night.
At 8 o'clock at night, I'm like,
when the sun's down, when I'm leaving the office,
that's the worst.
I don't like that.
Well, today is the 27th, so this is the sixth day that the days have been getting longer. The winter solstice was on the 21st, so a little more daylight every day.
Yep, and you know, winter is here. It's not, winter's not coming anymore. Winter is here. Okay. And so take care of yourself with that seasonal, you know, people feel the seasonal issues.
Highs in the 40s, seasonal lows in the depression. 30s, I think.
Yeah. You need daylight. We need daylight to feel good. So soak up some of that sunshine while it's there. And if it's not, you know, move around, do something.
In case you've forgotten how motherly Kelly is,
hang in there today. I'm just saying, hang in there because look, we're here. Turn us on. Here we are.
Yeah,
we'll get you through the winter, and then you can listen to us on the boat in the summertime. I mean, it's fine. It's all good. But it's happening. The sunshine will be out longer, and we're getting closer and closer to that. So, so it's all good. It's all good.
I like it.
Yeah, I do hate this time of year though, especially like. When I was driving to school in the evening, like I leave around 4:20-ish. And so about that 4:45, that sun's just straight in my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that nothing drives me more nuts because the sun visor isn't helping. The sunglasses are barely helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, for what? For 3 hours of sunlight?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be dark by the time I get to school and it's going to be dark when I get out.
Yeah. And you can't get that visor in the right. You move it to the side, you pull it down, you push it up, but you can't in the right.
There's no good place for it.
And I'm so short. It just,
I wasn't going to say that. Yeah. I wanted to.
I have that seat all the way up, like but literally. I then I have to kind of move my steering wheel because my knees will be touching the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You sit like, that's how Nate sits in my car. He pulls it all the way up.
And Nate is taller than me.
He is taller than you now. Yeah.
Again, there's a joke there. I'm not going to say everybody is taller than you, Katie, but that's what I wanted to say.
But you know, Nate has had a growth spurt. Nate is my height now.
Yeah, so. I was about to say he's been taller than me for probably a little bit, but he is not a short person.
No, he's a tall dude.
Growing on up.
He's how old now?
14.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. I've lost 2 years there somewhere in my own life as well.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Nate Turner.
Yeah.
Growing up on.
Happy New Year.
Does he
Nate
listen
Turner.
To the show?
He does. He and his friends.
Excellent. Yeah, we knew that.
We have a middle school following. Yeah. We do.
I remember that.
And our episode today has a lot to do with school. So I hope all of you did well on this semester grades. You should have grades back by now.
Right.
Yeah.
I made it through my semester. They're going to let me keep going.
You get
through.
To keep going? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. Pass fail situation?
No, there's actual grades, but you've got to make a C in classes that are on the bar. So to get credit. So
Check and check and check. How many classes did you have?
Three.
Okay. So three checks.
Way there to go. Mm-hmm.
The distress continues as she barrels towards her.
What are we
going to
do with the intro?
I don't know.
I think a lot of people get like,
our intro's in retrograde.
Yes, it is. For sure.
I take finals and people be like, how'd you do? And I'm like, well, I won't know for a while, but now I know, and it was all right.
Yeah. It probably takes a minute to grade all those kinds of tests because your finals are not short and there's a lot of content. So,
a good many in my class. So they're not, when you have tests with 80 something questions and they're not all multiple choice, they can't really grade those quickly.
Yeah, that takes a minute. Mm.
And our professors like to say, I grade them and then I think about it.
Uh-oh. And then I think about, do I like this person or not?
I'm going to sit on it and think about your participation in class.
Were they good in class?
It sounds complicated.
Think about that curve, what they're going to do with that.
Well, and this is a different level. When I taught a core class at a local community college, I taught just intro. Mm-hmm. Intro to psychology and then developmental psychology.
Right.
But I would think of that every time I would get ready to do grades, final grades. And I would think about what was attendance, what was participation. Mm-hmm. I remember having a student email me, and she was a great student. And she emailed me after the final, and she said, I'm adding up all my grades, and I'm getting an 88. And she said, I'm just wondering if there's anything that I can do for extra credit. I want the A. She reaches out. And trust me, students, that is a big deal to an instructor.
So you gave her an 85?
I gave her a C and said, I don't know what you're... No, but what I did
brown
say...
Brown nose.
I emailed her back and I said, that's interesting. Because when I do the math, I get a 90.
Okay.
And she said... Really? She didn't gasp, but really?
Yeah, she
question
did.
Mark, exclamation. And I said, way to go. Good job.
Yay.
Because I'm telling you, you go to class, you participate. Yeah. Part of that is your grade.
And that you care
is your
has
grade.
To help.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that's the way that works out for you a lot.
I know how to get an A in your class next time.
Yeah, I don't teach anymore.
Yeah.
Not because of that.
Not as far as we know.
No. I did not give grades. She earned. You come to class and you listen to me lecture day in and day out.
Ugh.
You've earned a couple of extra
awful.
Credit points.
And like in law school, it's a lot of participation in class. Like, you have to come, come prepared.
You can't just sit there like a rock.
No. Yeah. Because they're not really there to teach you. They're there to see if to guide.
They want the engagement.
They want the back and forth. Yeah, it's not just a whole stand up there and lecture.
Well, I hope that this helps you out a lot, Katie, because this, this is what we do. You have to argue with us all the time.
She wins. Think how
does.
Much harder that's going to be when she becomes an attorney.
Yeah, she should definitely get A's on everything.
Shane said something the other day. We were talking about something, and I said, oh, no, I don't think that's exactly right. And he said, why did I think it was a good idea for you to go to law school? It's the one thing I had over you.
he's swiftly losing that.
Yeah, he was like, it was the one thing that you couldn't argue with me on, and now you're...
Yeah.
Whoops, sorry.
Good for him.
I know it.
That's
I know
what
it.
He gets.
All right, exactly. So we've covered resolutions. Mm-hmm. We've covered the space.
Yeah.
And all of the
planets and
astrology. Yeah. Things. What now? What do we do now?
My brain is empty.
Do we talk about true crime now?
I guess. Is it time? Yeah, let's do that. And Katie
one
has,
final time of 2023. Let's do this.
See, the last time Katie did this, she blew the doors off of it.
I'm nervous.
With that Omama Nelson story that we did back in, was that early November or late, early December or
late
November?
It was near Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was the Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving, so.
And I'm very nervous about, because here we sit again, Scott, and we have no idea what's happening.
I got no clue.
And Katie has a story that she's going to tell us. I'm very afraid.
I'm just going to push the mic away, sit back and relax.
All right, Katie, let's do this.
Fire away.
Well, this time we're going to go a little north. We're going to be in Canada.
Okay.
And sometimes throughout the story, I'll talk about kind of where we are, but I'm just not that familiar with the geography of Canada. And I didn't go much into looking it up because it doesn't really matter in the story.
Okay.
I'm terrible with geography.
Yeah. I've been to Canada, but
I have too, briefly.
Yeah. Briefly. Yeah.
Like same here. Briefly once when I was a kid.
It was like a stop through airport thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I got on a cruise ship there to do Alaskan cruise. And then when we were in Alaska, we did like a dog sled thing. And they bussed us into Canada and did dog sledding. So we went through the whole checkpoint
there.
You
rode a dog sled?
Mm-hmm. It was weird because it was in July, so there was no snow. So this is how they train the dogs in the off season. Okay. And so they literally pulled us in like ATVs.
Fun. Really?
Yeah. And we got to hang out with the puppies.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess that's
what a great
nice
day.
Yeah.
They just spend their lives running.
And they love it.
What's that old Louis Grizzard joke? Unless you're the lead sled dog, the scenery never changes.
A dog butt.
Well, they loved it. I mean, the smartest dogs. That was, but yes. I've been to Canada, and I'm not sure if it was anywhere near where this is.
Okay.
Like I said, I didn't get into it, but here we are.
Yep.
Okay. Today is the story of Jennifer Pan. Jennifer is a Chinese, is the daughter of Chinese immigrants into Canada. They actually had resided in Vietnam.
Okay.
So they were living in Vietnam, her parents, and they have immigrated to Canada as basically refugees. And their names are Han Pan and Bic Pan. Han is her father and Bic is her mother.
Okay.
They were married in Toronto and lived in Scarborough. And they had two children. So Jennifer, she was born in 1986, and Felix, who was born in 1989.
So Jennifer and Felix were actually born in Canada.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they're Chinese
Canadians.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Their parents worked at a place called Magna International, which is an auto parts manufacturer. And Han was like a tool and die maker, and Bic made car parts.
Okay.
So they're hard workers.
Yeah.
They were really good with their money. So they worked at this factory from the time that they immigrated in. And so by 2004, they had enough money that they purchased a nice home, one of the, you know, your quintessential suburban home, mm-hmm. 2-car garage on a residential street. Very nice. It had a large Asian population in this community.
Okay. So sense of community, likeness.
Yes.
A lot of the folks there from China as well, or Vietnam, or
for both. It wasn't one specific. It just, the community described itself as Asian.
So they're able to relate and have commonalities. Okay. Yeah. I love that. A community. I love it.
And now the Pans had extremely high expectations for their children.
Ooh.
Jennifer was made to take piano lessons starting at the age of 4.
Okay.
And she also took figure skating classes where she trained most days during the week.
Which I guess is what you do in Canada since it's cold all the time anyway.
Imagine there's a lot of ice.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about figure skating, if you want to be good at figure skating, you do it all the time.
Yes.
Kind of like gymnastics. Like it takes over your life.
And I'm looking at you. We have a great little gymnast here in Center, Alabama, Mary Charlotte Allen. Shout out to the Allens, Joy and Clint again, and their youngest, Mary Charlotte.
But I think
she's incredible.
I think it, you know, encompasses her life right now, which you have to.
And she loves it.
Cool.
Like, she's all about it.
Well, Jennifer loved her figure skating, and she actually had hopes of becoming an Olympic figure skater until she unfortunately tore a ligament in her knee, and that put a damper on her figure skating career.
Oh, no. So she tears a ligament in her knee.
Yes. And so she is attending Mary Ward Catholic Secondary School, and she plays the flute in the school band. Mm-hmm. So she's now took up another instrument and another, you know, activity that she has to attend daily. Her parents picked her up from school each day, and they closely monitored her extracurricular activities. So she's not dating. She's not getting rides home with friends from school. She's not attending parties. She's not going to any activities that are not her music lessons, her band practices, school, and home.
And because figure skating is done.
Yeah, figure skating was done.
Yikes. That doesn't sound fun. There seems like there's no time for fun.
No, like she wasn't even allowed to attend like school dances, anything like that. Then she graduates high school and is going to attend university. She's still living at home. She's still not allowed to go and do anything.
In college?
Yes. They're still, she is still under their thumb.
And you may have just said this. Does she live at home?
Yes.
She does live at home.
She did just say that.
She did just say that.
Yep.
She lives at home. She's not allowed to move out. She lives at home.
I was taking a sip of my coffee.
What's in that coffee?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we want to know.
And at the age of 22, she was quoted as saying she had never been to a club, never been drunk, so she never had any alcohol. She had never visited a friend's house or gone on vacation without her family.
Okay, so you know what?
Sequestered life.
Mm-hmm. She's going to pull a Tammy Wynette. Your good girl's going to go bad.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Well, despite her parents' high expectations for her, she didn't make great grades.
Oh.
They were very average, mostly C's, except in her music classes.
Okay, so that's her thing.
Yeah, she's nailing music class, nailing band, but everything else, she's middle-of-the-road C's.
Well, she just wasn't motivated. Obviously, she has the skill and the aptitude.
Does she have too much extracurricular going on?
Well, I think she's a little rebellious maybe at that point because, if she's great at music, she should be able to do math.
A teenage girl, rebellious? Come on now.
Shocker.
Well, her parents aren't aware of these C's because she's forging her report cards and making her parents think that she's earning straight A's.
Into lowercase A's, those C's become, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
And even so far as in her 12th grade year of high school, she failed calculus.
Oh no.
And the university that she had early admission to rescinded her early admission.
Oh no.
That sounds like a tough one to cover up.
How did she cover that up?
This is when her lies really started to pick up because she couldn't tell anyone the truth. So she just began to lie to everyone, especially her parents. And so actually when she was attending university, she was pretending to attend university.
Oh my gosh.
The plot thickened just now.
So instead, during the day, she is just sitting in cafes. She's teaching piano lessons. She worked in a restaurant. Earn a little extra money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's got to be tough when you still have to go home every day to your parents' house.
And continue to lie.
Pretend like you've been in college classes all day.
Holy crap. Yeah.
And also to help maintain this charade, she's telling her parents that she's won scholarships for school. So they're not asking, hey, do we need to write a check? How are you getting school paid for?
Yeah, because you can lie all day about your scholarships to your fake college. Mm-hmm. Right. That's easy.
Yeah.
You can't lie about your scholarships to your real college because the bill's going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I had some of those back in the day. The fake scholarships to colleges I did not. No, I didn't.
About to say, if I didn't have that real scholarship, there would be no college. Yeah.
So she is just finding a way to occupy her days.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she's earning money.
Yep.
I wonder if she has a long-term plan or if she's just living day to day.
From what I can tell, it's day to day because then she claims to her parents that she's accepted an offer into the pharmacology program at the University of Toronto.
Okay.
Mm.
She goes so far as to purchase secondhand textbooks and starts watching videos related to pharmacology in order to create notebooks full of class notes so that she can show her parents her class notes.
Wow. She missed her calling.
She might as well have just went to class, Because that's basically what she's doing. But she does not have a high school degree because she failed that calculus class. So she's never actually graduated from high school. So she couldn't go to university if she wanted to.
That dang calculus.
Ugh, I hate it.
At this point, too, she's also requested permission from her parents to stay near this campus, this University of Toronto, with a friend throughout the week since her class wrote. Her class load was going to be so rigorous.
Did they agree?
They did. She's supposed to be staying with a female friend.
Okay.
During the week. She is actually staying with her boyfriend.
There we are.
And his name is Daniel Chiquang Wong.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Wong.
Does he live near the university?
He does.
He does.
Yes. Okay. So they had met in high school.
Okay.
And he was once a student at Mary Ward where she went.
Mm-hmm.
He had transferred to another high school.
Okay.
Because he had terrible grades too.
Uh-oh.
But he finished high school and he actually did go to university for a little bit.
Okay.
But the main things he did with his time was deal marijuana and manage a Boston Pizza.
Oh, pizza and pie.
Well, yeah, no. If you're going to smoke marijuana all the time, you may as well work at a pizza place.
I mean, business is booming. Yeah. Not going to lie.
It makes me think of back when I lived in Jacksonville, there was the pizza place called Wake and Bake.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It just
pizza.
Goes together. It's like when you're going to school and you go through and you eat the school lunches, they always put pizza and corn together.
Ugh.
And then when you become an adult, it's pizza and pie.
I like the adult version much better.
It is, though. Why is it pizza and corn?
I don't know.
I'm sitting here wondering why Wake and Bake ever closed. That was fantastic pizza, and it would
great business.
They would deliver until like 3 a.m.
Could have possibly been the fact that marijuana is illegal still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't actually sell
here.
They didn't actually sell marijuana
in Alabama. Marijuana is illegal. But the Wake and Bake didn't sell marijuana. Now see, that's a flawed business plan.
I think they kind of need you to get your own marijuana.
Just fantastic pizza.
Get your own marijuana and we'll cover the rest.
2 hours later when you were hungry.
We got you. Okay.
Now, while Jennifer is pretending to complete her degree at the University of Toronto, she told her parents that she started working as a volunteer at the Hospital for Sick Children. I guess that's the name of
it. Well, she's just laying it on thick.
Is that the name
of
the hospital?
That's the name of the hospital.
Wait a minute.
The Hospital for Sick Children.
It's very specific.
Think about it.
I mean, I don't question
do. We have children's.
Yeah. Does that not sound better?
It does.
What you got to call it the Hospital for Well Children?
No, but I just feel like I want to talk to their PR department and kind of say, look, let's think of something else.
Yes. Yeah.
Her parents did become suspicious, though, at this point, because they realized.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. They realized she
took them long
enough. A little
late
to the party, Mom and Dad.
She didn't have a hospital ID badge or like a uniform.
She didn't wear scrubs.
That's what gave it away.
All right.
The darn scrubs messed everything up.
$20.
A minute. She went so far as to buy textbooks and do create fake class notes and didn't think to do a badge and scrubs.
And she may have had some scrubs, but maybe she didn't have like that pharmacy coat or something that they thought she would need.
Go to the grocery store and buy one from the meat market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those coats look the same.
Yes, that is true. Her mother decided to follow her to work one day and discovers the truth. And her father was so furious, he wanted to throw her out of the house. But, her mother, as mothers do, persuaded him to let her stay.
Seems like a typical father response, right?
Yeah.
You're out of here. I'm so mad at you. Get out.
Go ahead.
You're a liar.
All of her lies have unraveled at this point. So her parents know about her not completing high school, never being in university.
Mm-hmm.
Since she hadn't completed high school, she began working to finish that high school degree. And she was encouraged by her parents to actually apply to university.
Mm-hmm.
But she was forbidden to contact her boyfriend.
Okay.
They found out about the boyfriend.
You're done with the pothead.
Yes.
I guess is what they would have called him.
Yeah, but we're talking
about whatever else they would have called him.
An adult human being at this point. She's 18, 19. 20 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, she's in her 20s, early 20s, yeah.
So I guess that makes sense for a father to say, you know what, just go. You're an adult.
Well, but he didn't, he can't do that now because he didn't prepare her to get into the world because he kept her locked in the closet for the first 18 years of her life. She's not functional as an adult.
Katie
is laying out for us.
Yeah, she only knows how to pretend to be somebody she's not.
Because she's never been allowed to be herself.
Yeah. Dang.
And the odd part is like their main concern with him was that he was of mixed race. He was Chinese and Filipino. That went over my head. But
okay,
she wasn't allowed to see him. She wasn't allowed to go anywhere except her piano teaching job.
So what? For whatever reason, and I guess they've laid it out because he's part Filipino. They don't want her to have anything to do with him.
Nothing to do with.
And so you can go to your piano lessons. And she's 22.
She's 22 or 23 at this point, yes.
Good gracious. That's got to be an adult in Canada.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but maybe there's just something we don't understand about the way Chinese families...
Just the culture, I think.
The culture of the
Chinese. Especially immigrant families, because they're like, we did all of this. We have...
And so now you're going to be everything you can be.
Yep.
Because we've sacrificed and worked
for you to
do this.
To help make you successful.
At this car parts plant.
But you're going to be the kind of success that we decide.
Yes.
Does that work ever? Yeah.
No.
Wouldn't think so. But
not much.
So now Jennifer's 24. And her boyfriend Wong has grown tired of the effort their relationship required. Because of course she's still trying to talk to Wong. But they can't really see each other.
I'm done with this. Get your family in line. Mm-hmm.
Like she was, she was so restricted by her parents they could only meet in secret. And he's like, I'm out. So he breaks up with her and he begins to date someone else.
Okay.
After learning of this new relationship, Jennifer then calls up Wong and is telling him that a man has entered her house showing what appeared to be a police badge.
Uh-oh.
After which several men then rushed in after and gang raped her.
What?
And then she claims after this, a bullet was mailed to her and that both of these events were orchestrated by his new girlfriend.
Okay, we've taken a turn.
Now, what did he say about this?
They get back together.
Oh, Lord. Wong is an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of us are.
Oh, my gosh. How did she get him to believe that?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, look. All right, here we go. Public service announcement. Okay? If you're dating someone and you know that their entire life has been lying about various things, and you think that they won't lie to you?
Yeah.
That is an excellent point.
I mean, at least vet a story like this. But I know you don't want to say, hey, rape victim, prove it.
Yeah, let's see that police report.
Yeah, let's see that really happened. So, yeah, that's a tough one. So she was smart about the story, but then linking it all to the new girlfriend.
Suspicious.
I might have to have some proof of that. Yeah. Anyways, whatever. So he believes it and they're back together.
Yes. But I guess this is kind of like we talked about karma, I think, in our episode last week. But tragedy actually does strike Jennifer's family.
Oh, no.
On November 8th, 2010, the family was all in bed. Except for Felix. He wasn't home this night, but the family had all gone to bed. Three men walk in the front door of the house, and they're all armed.
Oh, gosh.
They wake up everyone in the house. They demand all the money in the house. They start ransacking the main bedroom where her parents are, thinking that that's where they're keeping their money.
Mm-hmm.
And they take her parents to the basement.
Uh-oh, somebody's heard about the Clutter family.
Oh, no.
And they tie Jennifer to a banister. The banister on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get the parents to the basement, they shoot both of them multiple times.
Oh, no.
Her father is shot in the shoulder and in the face. Her mother is shot three times in the head. The men took all the cash in the house. They got $2,000 from Jennifer herself, which was her own money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leave. And Jennifer is able to call 911 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 911 call, Jennifer tells the dispatcher that one of the intruders had came upstairs and bound her hands behind her back and tied her to the banister. So she didn't see what happened with her parents. She just heard everything. Towards the end of the call, you can start to hear a series of gut-wrenching screams for help.
Oh, no.
They're very distant, but they can be picked up on the 911 call. And it's Jennifer's father, who is alive. He somehow woke up from these gunshot wounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And is alive.
Oh, my gosh.
So first responders get there, and they realize the mother is dead. She's dead on arrival. But they transfer her father to a trauma unit in hopes of saving his life.
Yeah.
So he falls into a coma. He's got a broken bone over his eye. He has bullet fragments in his face. He has a shattered neck bone. And he remains in this coma for 3 days. So while he's in this coma, Jennifer's in the hospital with him. And she's interviewed by police. And she describes that on that night, she could hear the robbers asking her parents for money. She could hear her mother crying. And she had her phone tucked in her waistband. And that's how she was able to get to her phone.
Because she's tied up.
Yes. And she's trying to get to it when she hears the gunshots for the first time. As we head toward the 2023 holiday season, the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism wants to remind everyone who lives in the surrounding area to shop local.
Shopping locally means having lunch at a restaurant in town, or purchasing unique items in a local shop or boutique, or simply filling up your gas tank at the station down the street before hitting the road for a holiday vacation.
Small businesses play a major role in maintaining our way of life by supporting our schools and nonprofits and providing jobs in the community. In short, they are giving back. The Chamber encourages you to give back to them by shopping local this holiday season. For more information, visit Cherokee-Chamber.org. Are you in the market for a full-time Westlake home or recreational lot? Let Trini Davis and Elizabeth Powell put their all-star property group at Keller Williams Realty to work for you. Trini and Elizabeth are locals themselves, so they know the Westlake area, and with over 40 years of experience, they're professional listing and buying agents, talented home stagers and photographers, and specialized marketing team will work to make your lakefront dreams come true. Check out the Keller Williams team on Facebook at All Star Property Rome. You can also visit at All Star Property Rome to browse their images on Instagram or give them a call at 706-844-7493. That's the All Star Property Group with Keller Williams Realty at 706-844-7493. You can hit pause, call them now, and make your Westlake dreams a reality.
Are you a fan of True Crime on Easy Street? Do you love us so much that you would like to be a sponsor? Well, here's how you can do it. Send us an email, truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. We will send you a rate sheet. You can decide what you want your commercial to say, or we can customize it for you. That's how good we are, and that's the service we provide our lovely sponsors. So email us today at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com for more information.
Three days later, so this is, we're at November 12th, her father wakes up from this coma. Mm-hmm. And to everyone's surprise, he remembers everything from that night.
What did she do? What is she lying about now?
Well, the fact that interests the police the most is that he says he remembers Jennifer talking to one of the robbers like a friend before the robbery occurred.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was afraid of that.
Because she's the only one that they left. I mean,
and everything starts unraveling from here.
Oh my gosh, Jennifer, what have you done?
In the spring of 2010, Jennifer was in contact with a man named Andrew Montemayor.
Okay.
He was a high school friend who she claims had bragged in high school about robbing people at knife point, which Montemayor vehemently denies. He's like, I didn't.
Well, sure, he denies it.
He introduces Jennifer to a man named Ricardo Duncan, who was a goth kid who Jennifer claims she gave $1,500 to kill her father in the parking lot at his work. Duncan says that never happened, but that she did give him $200 for a night out. I don't know exactly what that entailed, but that he actually gave her that money back and that she had asked him about killing her parents and he refused. Like I said, Jennifer and Wong had got back together at this point and they were in contact in the spring of 2010 too.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the police, they together came up with a plan to hire a professional hitman for $10,000 to kill her parents. They figured that she would inherit about $500,000 from their deaths. And so they plan to move in together after the murders with that money.
Now, what about Felix? Did she just know he was going to be gone and didn't want Felix?
It appears so, because Felix is usually home. He's 3 years younger than Jennifer. He did still live at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the one night he's not there is the night this break-in occurs. They don't really talk a whole lot about Felix. Felix is kind of left out of this situation.
But as far as you know, Felix doesn't have these same qualities as Jennifer. I mean, he's actually going to school. Mm-hmm. He's making grades. He's, you know, because I'm sure they have the same rules for him that they have for her. He's very sheltered, too. Mm-hmm.
And he's the younger brother, so maybe he sees her messing it all up, and he's like, not me.
I'm going to really do this.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wong had connected Jennifer with a man named Leonard Roy Crawford. He was from Jamaica, and everyone called him Homeboy.
Okay, so when I hear a name like that, I thought for sure he's going to be from Alabama. Here's our Alabama tie.
Yes, but no.
But he Jamaica?
He is Jamaican.
And we're sure that's his name.
Wait.
Leonard Roy Crawford.
Sorry, his name is
Lynn Ford.
L-E-N-F-O-R-D. Linford, but Roy.
Roy Crawford. Okay. All right.
And everyone calls him Homeboy.
Okay.
And Crawford gives Jennifer a burner phone. Wong gives Jennifer a burner phone so that they can get in contact with Crawford without using their normal cell phones.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Homeboy Crawford. I don't really know what to call him at this point.
Let's just call him Crawford. I don't like Homeboy either.
The second time I said it, I was like,
let's just call him Crawford.
Crawford contacted another man named Eric Sean Sniper Carty.
Dang, Sniper.
Let's get as many people involved
in this murder plot as possible. God. That always goes swimmingly.
Now we've got Crawford the Jamaican.
Okay.
Carty is the next.
That's the sniper.
Yes, the sniper.
Okay.
He, in turn, brings in another guy.
Holy moly.
And his name is David Milvagonum.
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 So is that Eastern European?
Milvagonum.
He's Canadian.
Canadian, okay.
Milvagonum.
But yeah, like his last name literally has got some Y's and some G. Yeah, Milvagonum. And
all we're missing so far is a partridge and a pear tree.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you had the goth guy. What was his name?
He is not involved in this. His name is...
Don't get me confused with a bunch of extra names.
His name was Duncan. And he's the one that she originally...
Okay.
She originally tries to get her high school friend, Montemayor. He said, because she heard he robbed people at knife point in high school. He's like, no. He introduces her to Duncan.
So here's Duncan. Duncan says, no.
Then Wong gets her in touch with Crawford.
Crawford.
Who brings in Carty, who brings in Milvagonum.
Maybe she should just put an ad in the paper.
Crawford
brings in Carty.
Carty.
Who brings in
Milvagonum.
Want to make a quick 10 grand? Kill my parents. Call 555-1212.
And according
Crawford, Carty, and Milvagonum. Milvagonum. Yeah. That's the strangest law firm ever.
And we're going to find out that Milvagonum is definitely one of the hitmen. He's definitely going to be one of the three guys in the house.
Okay.
And Carty is going to later be convicted of an unrelated murder.
Oh. But
he's going to be involved in our plot too. And I'm going to straighten all this out in just a second.
Yeah, because you said three men came in.
We got three. Right.
That's what she said.
Right.
Yeah.
So the murder took place at the Pan House, of course, on November 8th, 2010. Jennifer unlocked the front door of the family home and then went to bed.
Okay.
So, you know, I said they walked straight in the front door. The front door was not left unlocked by the family always. Jennifer has unlocked it and went to bed
and tucked her phone in her.
Then she calls Milvagonum, speaks on the phone to him.
Okay.
Shortly afterwards, Milvagonum and two other people enter the home, and we're not sure who these two people are.
Oh, okay.
They're all armed.
Okay.
And in court testimony, the prosecution, which in Canada is called the Crown, never establishes the identity of the other two hit.
Oh, just not worried about it.
Wong is not there. He was at work. He had an alibi. Crawford's not there. He was at work and had an alibi. Carty was the getaway driver.
Okay.
So he did not enter the home. And he said he selected, he was involved, he was selected for this plot to be that getaway driver. So,
and his nickname is Sniper?
Yes.
It's weird. I think it would be Speedy. Not Sniper. I think I can say with some clarity that the other two that we have not yet named would be Larry and Curly.
I don't know how you ever think that you're going to get away with this involving this many people.
Good gosh. Okay.
Initially, police just thought that the family's wealth had lured the perpetrators into the house, but then they became skeptical on that when there were so many valuables in the home not stolen.
Ugh.
And Jennifer was left unharmed and a witness and able to dial 911.
And tied to the banner? That's just weird.
And that evening after the murder, Jennifer had, you know, she underwent her first police interview. When her dad later woke up from the coma and he told the police that he saw Jennifer whispering to one of the hitmen in a friendly and soft manner. And immediately after that, they arrest Jennifer.
I mean, like, what is she saying?
Suspicions.
Friendly
confirmed.
And soft to the hitman. What's she saying?
Hey, baby, make sure you don't screw this up.
Well, her boyfriend was not there.
Yeah. You think she really just has one boyfriend?
That's a good point, too.
I don't know.
Because they talked to her dad in the hospital, and then she went underwent her first police interview.
Okay.
She's had two police interviews at this point.
And her father is like,
he's like, I don't know exactly what happened, but I did see her talking to the hitman and they seemed friendly. Like she wasn't afraid of him.
He saw them.
Yes. And heard them.
She didn't think it was going to matter if he saw that or not because he was going to be dead in a few minutes in the basement.
Yes.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He was shot in the face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they bring.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. She's like, they're going to be dead. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter what they say. That's right.
And then they bring her in for a third interview, and that is when they arrest her. This is November 22nd, 2010. During that interview, Jennifer admitted that she had hired the killers, but claimed that she hired them to kill her and not her parents.
It's worth a try.
Why the hell would you hire killers?
I don't know. I'm curious to see what lie she comes up with to try and explain this.
The police officer who's doing the interview, his name is Bill Goetz. He tells her that he had computer software that could analyze false statements and that there were satellites that used infrared technology to analyze movements in buildings.
Mm.
So he's telling her, you know, we've got you, basically. Like, we can figure this out. This is all lies. He's just lying.
He's spinning a web himself. Nice. Yeah.
He's lying straight through his teeth, but that's absolutely legal.
So
even in Canada.
Can you actually BS a BSer? Yeah, apparently in Canada, so. You can.
Yeah, you can do that anywhere.
Yes, I was about to say, listeners, police can lie to you right here in the United States. Yeah. They do.
If you ever find yourself arrested, you say one word and one word only.
Lawyer.
Lawyer.
Well, so in Canada, they're legally allowed to lie about their interrogating techniques, the evidence they have, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So after she starts talking and she's telling who she'd been in contact with, which the main one is she'd been on the phone that night with Milvagonum. So he's the first arrest. They arrest him at a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes them until April to arrest him. So she's arrested November. He isn't arrested until April of the next year. Then they find Carty and he's arrested. However, he is already in prison at this time because, like I said, he's in this meantime been convicted of an unrelated murder that occurred in 2009.
Shocking.
Where he wasn't the getaway driver.
Exactly.
This time.
So he was already in prison. So they get him for this. Then a few days after that, they arrest Wong at his place of employment. Mm-hmm. And then finally they arrest Crawford in May. So
that girl that briefly dated Wong.
Mm-hmm.
in between Jennifer.
Dodged a bullet?
She was like, phew.
Yeah. Perhaps literally dodged a bullet.
I am so glad I'm out of that.
And then in 2014, the trials begin. They all pled not guilty. They're all charged with first degree murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy to commit murder.
Mm.
At trial, I mean, there's so much evidence. They've tracked cell phones. They've got text messages. Over 100 texts sent between Jennifer and Wong in the 6 hours prior to the killing.
Over 100?
More evidence centered around the atypical nature of the break-in.
I just want to know what these texts said. I mean, tonight they're going to be murdered. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I imagine it was a lot like, you know, in the superhero movies when the villain has you and they start telling you their whole plan and everything they've done up until that point.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of those James Bond movies. Since you'll be dead in a moment, Mr. Bond, let me tell you how I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah.
Rattle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go through the atypical nature of the break-in and robbery, the shootings, how Jennifer's testimony, you know, never lines up. Jennifer.
Well, no, that's a terrible story. Mm-hmm. No, I actually hired the contract killers for me, mm-hmm. not my parents.
Yeah, she wasn't assaulted. She's not blindfolded. She wasn't taken to the basement with her parents. You know, no one shot at her. She was just left behind as an eyewitness to the attack. Like, she wasn't even blindfolded. So she knew exactly who everyone was.
Yeah, that seems like an oversight.
Yeah, they had that evidence from her father.
Good Lord.
Which, you know, greatly differed from her.
And they couldn't go back and kill him because it was caught on the 911 call.
Right. They were already gone. So
he starts screaming. And so they're stuck.
She would have had to hang up with 911, call them back and be like, come back and finish the job. Mm-hmm. But the 911, you know, but then they run the stuck. Risk of like the police being there by the time they got back, you know? Mm-hmm. There was over 200 exhibits in these trials and 50 witnesses testified.
Witnesses? To what?
A witness doesn't have to see anything. Okay. We're not eyewitnesses.
We all know how unreliable witnesses are.
They just had 50 testimonies at trial about various things.
I wonder if they start unraveling all of her lies and then go through all of that.
Well, in trials,
sort of show.
Yeah, they go through her obsession with Wong and how she's like, she's kind of an obsessive person.
Mm-hmm.
So, because this was all orchestrated so she could be with him. Because her parents wouldn't let her be with her boyfriend.
Is Wong really worth it? Is he worth all of this?
I'm going to guess the ultimate answer is no.
Yeah. Wong is never worth it. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Whoever your Wong is in your life, mm-hmm.
Nope.
He's not worth it.
Not saying a word.
So everyone but Carty is convicted on December 13th, 2014, and they all receive a life sentence with no chance of parole for 25 years. So I guess that's how it works in Canada. If you get life, you can get parole after 25 years, maybe.
Yeah. It's 15 in Alabama if you know the governor, and his name was Fob James.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Carty was originally tried with everyone else, but his lawyer got really sick. So around the summer of 2014, his case was declared a mistrial. So it takes a whole other year. We're in December of 2015 when he finally receives his sentence because he pleads guilty to conspiracy. And he receives 18 years with eligibility for parole after 9. But remember, he's already serving in prison for that other murder.
So they just piled that on top.
Exactly. He says he pled guilty because he didn't want to subject Jennifer's father to another criminal trial, which I don't know how much he cared about Jennifer's
very
father.
Very noble.
Yeah.
Very noble.
A little late to be noble.
Mm-hmm. But at this point, Jennifer's father and brother have requested a restraining order to ban her from ever contacting members of her surviving family again.
That's very wise, I would say, on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Her lawyers have all their objections to this, but the judge grants that order. And she's also banned from ever contacting Wong again. So she can't talk to her family. She can't talk to her boyfriend.
Why is she banned from talking to Wong?
I guess because they've been convicted of a conspiracy.
Oh, and so they can't. Okay.
Conspirers can't conspire anymore.
Any longer.
And now it gets even a little more weird because she's, you know, currently incarcerated. But in May of this year, a court of appeals has granted her an appeal.
Good Lord.
For her and the three co-conspirators.
Like for a new trial? Wonder what? Somebody screwed up somewhere along the way, I guess.
How much evidence did you say was in this trial?
Well, here was the issue. It ruled that the trial judge had incorrectly instructed the jury to only consider two scenarios in the case that justified for the first-degree murder charge.
Okay.
One scenario was that either you can believe that the plan was to murder both parents,
mm-hmm.
or you can believe that the plan was to commit a home invasion and the parents were shot in the course of the robbery.
Okay. Okay.
So they didn't leave any other scenarios to consider.
All right. What other scenarios are there?
I guess that...
Wrong house.
The plan was to kill Jennifer too and they didn't. Or the plan was to... I don't... That was their issue, was that they only allowed those two scenarios to be considered and there could have been...
Yeah.
But the court did uphold the attempted murder convictions. So the only charge that has been appealed is the first degree murder charge.
So they're still guilty of murder
and conspiracy,
but not necessarily first degree murder, which is premeditated murder. If the law works in Canada, I guess the same as here. So it wasn't
I didn't get into the weeds on it, but yeah.
I mean, I guess that justifies the appeal if it was never their intention to kill anybody and the judge had said you either have to determine that they did it on purpose or they did it by accident.
How do you accidentally shoot somebody in the face three times?
I know.
Or in the head.
But yeah, if you're just in the course of the robbery and kill someone, I guess it's different.
That's not premeditated, I guess.
Right. Yeah. That would be second degree murder.
Last minute.
Maybe, yeah. These
people.
It's like, you know, in Alabama, we don't have first degree murder.
Mm-hmm. It's capital murder. Mm-hmm.
And Carty, he's passed away in prison in 2018, so he's no longer a part of all this.
What happened with him?
Just died in his cell.
How
exactly
old was he?
Sure. I don't know exactly.
I'm thinking these people are young.
He would be in his, you know, 30s. I mean, maybe a heart defect.
He could have been a little older, though.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been older.
But yeah, I just said he died in his cell April 26, 2018.
He might have gotten some help. We'll never know.
But yeah, so Jennifer, the court doesn't like her. She seemed not very unremorseful, very lack of emotion, which could also be cultural too, but.
Or the fact that she hated her parents.
Yes.
She sounds like a psychopath to me.
I mean.
Or just, you know, an obsessive. I mean, it was, I'm going to be with this boyfriend. I don't know why she didn't just.
Leave.
Yes.
Or is she a sociopath? Is she crazy because of. Or is she afflicted? I don't want to use the word crazy. Has she been mentally damaged due to her surroundings her whole life growing up?
She's
so
just like,
sequestered.
She just wants her parents out of the picture to stop controlling her life. She wants control of her life, but it sounded like at the end she wanted their money.
Yeah, because
good point.
I grew up pretty strict. I was raised by my grandparents for the most part, and like I couldn't make below a 95. One time I got grounded for making a 96 because that was too close.
Good gracious.
That's a little strong. That's
a bit much.
But you know, I didn't conspire with some random people to have them murdered.
Yeah, no. This is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
strange.
I finished high school and didn't fake going to college.
Yeah.
And people have friction with their parents. That happens as you grow up, when you're trying to establish, you know, yourself as an adult, but you're in that in-between mark.
Where you think you're smart enough to make your own decisions, but your parents know from experience that you're not.
That you're not. And, you know, so that everybody has that friction and there's arguments and disagreements, but this is a hate. I want them out of the picture. I want their money and I want to be with my boyfriend and this is how I'm going
to
do it.
To me, it's almost even worse than hate. It's like an indifference.
Okay, I want you gone.
Yeah, like
you're an obstacle.
Like they're just like she's not even killing them herself. She's getting these random people.
Mm-hmm.
Like for one, if they hadn't got caught like this, who's to say one of them didn't turn on her? She don't know she don't know these people. Mm-mm. She's just been put in contact with them. You know, as a domino effect, it's
Well, and it's, we've talked about this in other cases. Remember when we talked about Whitey Bulger, he got in trouble because someone that he had committed a bank robbery with mm-hmm. later got arrested for another crime. And in order to try to lighten up his sentence for the other crime that he'd been convicted of, he rolled over on Whitey Bulger and gave him up. And that's why Whitey ended up spending 9 years in prison mm-hmm. when he was in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the more tentacles you have mm-hmm. in one of these things, mm-hmm. the harder it gets to yeah. cover your tracks.
It just sounds like she wanted what she wanted and she was going about it the wrong way to get it. I mean, just leave. She was making her own money. She was yeah. working.
It makes absolutely no sense. I guess I just wanted
more money. So, I don't know.
Her dad was going to kick her out at one point anyway. Yeah.
She had $2,000, you said.
Yeah.
Maybe take that $2,000 and buy a ticket to the West Coast and get a job. But I mean, those were not her motivations. Her motivation was to be with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And that was all she saw. She had her blinders on. She wanted her boyfriend. We'd already heard about the lengths that she went to try and frame up the new girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she had her eye on one prize, and it was that boyfriend.
I go back to my original statement.
She wasn't even, maybe
Wong
she wasn't.
Wong is not
even,
worth it.
It was like she wasn't necessarily upset about all of the limitations that her parents had placed on her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't trying to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
She was perfectly willing to stay there as long as she could get the boyfriend. Well, I guess if you get $500,000 in inheritance,
I think she that just opens didn't up have, a world. Yeah, yeah, it does. Because yeah. she just didn't have the money to you know, because they had mm-hmm. a nice house and mm-hmm. nice, they lived a nice life. And, mm-hmm. you know, she yeah, still well, wanted that, but wanted the boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, no criminal ever thinks they're going to get caught.
No.
So
no, and I mean, you hired hitmen that couldn't even do the job.
And we're not going to victim blame as far as her parents. I mean, I think we can all agree they were strict and
yeah.
they did what they thought was best.
Probably it was a little too much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people have parents who are a little too strict yeah. and they don't mm-hmm. do these things.
Yes.
I think true. Katie just demonstrated yeah. that.
But yeah, and her, you know, and her yeah. poor mother is dead, and now her father. He's still with us, but he's, you know, and she's got her brother who they all have to deal with what she's done.
But now she can't.
Gosh, awful.
She can't. She's still in prison.
Yes.
And she can't ever contact her mother, or her father, or her brother again.
Or her
again,
brother again, or Wong.
Or anybody else in the family, or her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Like everybody admitted, finally, she's
hey, Jennifer,
unstable.
You're the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
you.
Jennifer was the problem here.
Yep. That's all I've got for
wow. That was pretty interesting.
That was a strange story.
Nobody got their head cooked in the oven this time.
No cannibalism oh, this week. I thought we'd end the year on a lighter note, I guess.
Let's not.
Not much lighter.
That was a rough one. That was a great job, Katie. Yeah. Thank you very much
always.
For that. So here we are, guys. This is it. Season finale.
That's right.
It's been a great season 3. I've enjoyed the ride.
I don't know how we're going to top it. Should we just quit now?
No.
And say
no.
to hell with it?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I think we
I'm willing
going.
To keep going.
We can end
are.
On that note.
All right. So we'll scrape something together for everybody next week. In the meantime, visit us at truecrimeoneasystreet.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can see everything that you ever want to know about the three of us and more there. You can read our bios. Mm-hmm. You can click on a link that will take you to our Spotify.
Yep.
archive, and that's where we would love for you to listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. If that's okay with you, if you've got some other favorite, that's fine. But
that's
if you're
fine.
If you're just learning and you're still trying them all out, give Spotify a try. That's our favorite.
Introduce us to your friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anytime. Yeah.
And have a happy and safe new year.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2024. Is that it? Are we finished?
We're finished.
Good night, everybody.